Winter is here and it's not going away anytime soon. Inflation isn't going away either. Act now and get two Eden Pure Gen 70 heaters for under $200. This deal is for 1 week only or while supplies last. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie70. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you so much for joining us today. Usually, in this hour, we'd be talking to Toby Leary, but he is busy this week, so we're going to postpone 2A Tuesday till next week. We'll save some of these Biden cuts. You know, Biden was sharing his expertise on firearms and the Second Amendment, and that's really, you know, that's his strong suit, Joe. He has so many strong suits, though. It's hard to pick which one's his strongest.
He's a Renaissance man.
He is. He's a train guy.
The fact that he's been alive since the Renaissance.
He's a car guy. He's a gun guy. He's an everyman kind of guy. So we will get to that eventually. But joining us now to talk about a topic that has been in the news constantly as of late, but has kind of taken a back seat with all these documents found in Biden's garage and library and think tank, that would be the topic of illegal immigration. And Jessica Vaughn is coming on the show to break down some of the latest for us. Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Good to be with you, Grace.
Jessica, the first thing I wanted to ask you about was your reaction to New York City Mayor Eric Adams going to the border and talking about the problems that New York City is dealing with, kind of finally admitting that cities cannot shoulder this burden and that the national government and the federal government has to step up. But he's also asking the Biden White House for more money. And I guess my question to you is more money going to solve this? Or is this problem a little bit bigger than that?
No, this cannot be solved just by throwing money at it. And while it's a good thing that Mayor Adams went to the border to see what's going on, he's one of the few Democratic leaders to do that. But, you know, the fact that this is tied to a demand for more money just exposes how cynical it was. You know, he's asking the federal government for $1 billion to help New York deal with this influx of illegal migrants. The federal government has already shelled out something like $9 billion last year for the Biden scheme to resettle all these illegal migrants around the United States. The people he should be asking would be, you know, the cartels. He should instead be sending a grant proposal to, like, the Sinaloa Foundation or something, because the cartels are made something like $13 billion off of smuggling migrants last year. But this is not going to solve it. The problem is the policies. If different policies were put in place to secure the border and enforce immigration laws in the interior, we wouldn't have this problem at all. It is totally a result of Biden's disastrous border policies, and changing those is the only thing that is going to make this better. I do think we need to point out the irony of the mayor of the biggest sanctuary city in the United States, you know, welcoming all, having to admit that illegal migration is enormously costly for the citizens of this country. It's a sort of interesting and ironic twist to all this as well.
It is. And what I take from that, Jessica, and I think it goes beyond illegal immigration to a lot of different issues, is that virtue signaling, when it's costing you nothing, is a really fun thing to do. It makes you look humane. It makes you look magnanimous. And then the second that it starts kind of cutting into your bottom line, or it starts making your job more difficult, people suddenly find themselves not as, you know, open to being a sanctuary city as they once claimed. Beyond that, though, something Eric Adams said, which kind of stuck out to me, he was talking about these websites that tell illegal immigrants that if they come to New York City, they'll be put up in hotels. And he was really trying to downplay this idea and kind of give give the impression that this is fake news and that illegal immigrants are being, you know, fed this information, and they get to New York and it's a totally different story. Now, why I bring this up is because there are a lot of cases where illegal immigrants come into this country and they are put up at hotels. I mean, I've read so many stories, including in New York City, of this happening. So where is this disconnect, and why does Eric Adams think that this is, you know, I don't know if he thinks it's Russian disinformation or what the latest Democrat theory is on it, but has he not heard of this?
He must have heard of it. If not, he doesn't know what's going on within his own city government, because the city of New York has on their own website all kinds of instructions for illegal immigrants to access city services, find assistance. They don't dare offer to help them find employment, but just about everything else. So, you know, if he's complaining about, you know, web-based information for illegal migrants, he needs to look, you know, right on his own website. Now, of course, the UN and all kinds of other migrant advocacy groups do the same thing. But, you know, this information is out there. And importantly, it's, you know, the information on it is not necessarily a lie or disinformation, because it's true that if you make it to the border, especially if you have a kid in tow, that you are going to be allowed to cross, you're going to be able to cross illegally and allowed to stay in the United States under Biden policy. So I don't see where the disinformation is. And if you go to New York, you're going to be put up potentially in a hotel and given all kinds of assistance.
I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. And Jessica, this is a local story for you. This is from the Boston Herald, but it talks about how Boston shielded over 100 criminal illegal aliens from deportation last year. This is not a new thing. You know, this happens in a lot of sanctuary cities, which we are a sanctuary city here in Boston. But what I found interesting about it is the Boston Police Department commissioner defended this action and said Boston's immigrant community should feel safe in reporting crime and in proactively engaging with the Boston Police Department. But what, again, I feel like I'm missing something, because how does it make you feel safer that under the direction of Mayor Michelle Wu, the police are allowing criminal illegal aliens to evade arrest? What part of that is supposed to make the immigrant community feel safe?
That's exactly right. Because first of all, we know from our research that immigrants are no less likely to report crimes than anyone else. In fact, they may be more likely, but they're certainly, you know, there's this idea that they don't report crimes is a myth. But the problem is that so many of these criminal aliens that the city of Boston is refusing to turn over to ICE or even hold them for ICE to come get them for removal are returning to immigrant neighborhoods and victimizing the people who live in those neighborhoods. And a lot of them are immigrants. So he's, you know, this is not contributing to safety or trust in immigrant neighborhoods. It's, you know, when you protect criminal aliens, that just erodes faith in authorities and erodes the quality of life and public safety for everyone. And that is a huge problem. And, you know, if he can't bring himself to even respond to 100 detainers in a year issued by ICE, knowing that under the Biden rules, ICE has reduced interior enforcement by more than 70% nationwide and more than that in Massachusetts, that these are the worst of the worst that ICE is seeking to remove. And these are the people who are being protected by the city of Boston sanctuary policy. And these are the people who are going to go on to victimize more people in the city.
I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. And Jessica, my last question for you, and this is a topic we've talked about in depth, is the fact that the Biden administration, once again, now this happened last week, but it's the 12th time this has occurred, they've extended the COVID public health emergency. Now, the reason that I find this troubling is because it seems like this is a situation where when they want to use the pandemic to their advantage, they'll extend the public health emergency. But at the same time, they're going to the Supreme Court and they're telling them COVID's over. COVID's been over for a long time, in order to allow more illegal aliens into the country. So how can they have it both ways?
They can't. It's hypocritical. It's contradictory. If the pandemic is still raging, then we should be using Title 42, the public health measures, to address this border crisis. Now, you know, personally, I don't think we need Title 42 to end this border crisis. We can use Title 8, which is immigration law, the laws that Congress wrote that said you need to get operational control of the border, you need to arrest and detain illegal migrants. You know, that's enough. But you cannot have it both ways. You know, if they want to get rid of Title 42, the Biden administration does. But, you know, it doesn't make sense with the stance that the pandemic is over, because what they want apparently even more than controlling the border is to control Americans. And that's, you know, why they're clinging to this pandemic, in my view.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting view of it. Jessica, can you let people know where they can follow you on Twitter and where they can read the work that you're putting out there into the world? It's very, very interesting. It's very detail-oriented. So please let people know where they can read all of it.
Sure. I'm tweeting at Jessica V, underline C-I-S. And everything we produce is on our website at cis.org.
Excellent. Jessica Vaughn, thank you so much, and keep up the great work. We hope to talk to you again soon. As for everybody else, we'll take your calls on this if you want to discuss. You know, Jessica, we were just discussing COVID, and so we're going to continue that conversation after this, because Dr. Lena Wen was on CNN talking about how overcounting is a problem here with COVID-19. And now, you've probably known that. I've known that. I figured that out when the man died in the motorcycle accident and they declared it a COVID death. That was my first red flag that maybe something's not right with the counting. But Dr. Lena Wen is just figuring it out, and she's bringing it to her friends at CNN. And surprise, surprise, they don't want to hear it, okay? They do not want to hear this. So we're going to discuss. We'll take your calls. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. So call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or go to perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will this document scandal bring the end of Biden's presidency?
Honestly, it might be his rendition of Happy Birthday, because that was alarming. It's hard. It's definitely picking up a lot of steam. And I think it almost depends on how many more batches we find, because if, say, tomorrow we get another batch, that just breathes more life into this thing. I will say no, because at this point, I mean, once you see the guy come out and like fall asleep at the podium and have food on his face and fall up the stairs, you really do start to think, this man is Teflon. There doesn't seem to be anything that sticks to him. Now, the difference is, if the left decides stuff is going to stick to him, then maybe it changes. And we have seen, both in the questions he's received from the press and also these horrific press conferences with KJP, that maybe things are turning slightly. But I'm still going to say, I'm going to hedge my bets here and say, no, this will not be the end of Joe.
71% of the audience now believes no. 29% say yes, it will be the end. And if you want to vote, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com and you can participate in today's poll question.
Now, we have been talking about the World Economic Forum, Davos, and we have some sound. We mentioned Al Gore. And the reason I mentioned Al Gore was because a caller brought it up, first of all. I was going to keep Al Gore's name out of my mouth. And then a caller brought him up. And I thought where the caller was going had to involve the Lummox incident of 2006. I was mistaken, but I have no regrets in talking about it, because it's always a fun thing. It's always a fun trip down memory lane. But it turns out Al Gore is at Davos. He's not going to miss this, Jared. This is his high holiday.
Oh, yeah. This is his child. This is almost his brainchild.
Do you think they came up with this at a think tank? Maybe the Al Gore think tank? We should do that as a question one day. What think tank is the most frightening to you? A John Kerry think tank? A Joe Biden think tank? An Al Gore think tank? But yeah, this is really, this is his event. This is his Oscars, and he goes every year. And this year, he was at a step and repeat of some sort, and he was being interviewed, and he told us how he feels about fossil fuels. This was described as a rant, Jared, so I hope it lives up to that. Let's take a listen to Al Gore.
Enough already! Enough! And I don't want to get sidetracked onto what needs to happen, but we need to scale up climate finance, but we need desperately to scale down anti-climate finance. And we are still subsidizing the burning of fossil fuels globally at a rate 42 times larger than the subsidies for the shift toward renewables and EVs, et cetera. We need new leadership at the World Bank. We need them to scale up the leverage and vastly increase the amounts that are committed. And we need to rein in the anti-climate activities of the fossil industry.
Scale back or rein in the anti-climate industries. Now, most products, widgets, whatever you want to call them, most things that have to be produced, they are usually not helping the climate, you know, just naturally. You have to make something, unless you're, you know, making it out of recycled, reused, renewables, as he was saying, you're probably in some way damaging the climate. So what counts as an anti-climate industry? It could, Jared, be anything you want it to be. But my next question is, do private planes count as an anti-climate industry?
Enough already!
I'm sorry, I asked too many questions. I feel ridiculous. You know, now I understand why people say, Grace, don't get all riled up. Your voice gets too high and it's annoying. Because when I hear that, I'm like, is that what I sound like? Is that a glimpse of what's happening when I'm on the radio?
Enough already!
Ugh.
Enough!
Enough! Okay, you're right, though. Enough. Enough of the World Economic Forum. We've had enough. Karine Jean-Pierre is currently, let's take a little bit of this, Jared. She's going back and forth with these reporters. It looks like it's getting tense.
And are you concerned that it affects your credibility up here?
Well, what I'm concerned about is making sure that we do not politically interfere in the Department of Justice, that we continue to be consistent over the last 2 years. And that is continue to refer you all when it comes to an ongoing process. And I'll just leave it there. And let's not forget, there was actually a statement from the counsel's office that you all had at the same time as well. I'm just not going to go down any rabbit hole here. I'm going to be very consistent. I'm going to be very prudent. And again, I've been asked that question. I've answered it. It's been noted, the question, and we're just going to move on. Go ahead, JJ.
Thanks. So just to clarify on the debt ceiling again, so the White House has no intent.
You know what I'm noticing? She has a lot of these lightweights in the Biden administration, and Lord knows there's plenty of them. They like the buzzwords, process, you know, they have all these buzzwords they like to use. They also love the gesticulation. She loves when she's using her hands a lot. That means.
But I was watching the Mr. Roboto video.
Yeah, it was almost like miming or something. She has this one move she does a lot, and it's Obama-esque. It's Pete Buttigieg-esque. And, you know, I was on with Jen Pellegrino last night on Newsmax, and she had like a body language expert on who was analyzing Karine Jean-Pierre. And he was pointing out all these different things, like the way that she's moving her hands, the way she's blinking all the time. All of these things that show you she's spinning her wheels because she's got nothing. I don't know if they're keeping her in the dark on this information or if she's lying. But either way, the performance is not Oscar worthy. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All these superheroes gathering. I like to think of them as the Avengers gathering at Davos at the World Economic Forum. They all get their private planes together. Imagine trying to park all those private planes. And then they talk about how they're going to carry out their mission, which is to save the planet. Sounds very, not to take a dig at Scientology, but it's giving Scientology. That's what it all sounds like to me. But either way, it's fine. This is what they're passionate about. This is what they want to, this is what they got rich on. And if you get rich on something, Jared, if something makes you millions of dollars, you're going to ride that, you're going to, ride that meatball into the sky, that rigatoni into the sky.
Oh, ride the rigatoni into the sky, yeah.
I pay attention.
Captain Klaus and Iron Gigolo are on the case.
But I got bad news for them. Now, first, the bad news was obviously this year's lineup. It's like Coachella, you know, everyone gets excited for an act, that the act pulls out. And you go, wait, we were supposed to have Justin Bieber. Now we have, I don't know. I actually read the Coachella lineup yesterday. I didn't know any of the performers.
I didn't know Coachella was still happening.
I didn't know any of the artists. And I thought to myself, if I tried to read these names aloud, I bet my pronunciation would be so off. But with something like Davos, you have to have a lineup. You have to have these stars. You have to bring out the big guns like Brian Stelter and Christopher Ray. And this year, Sam Bankman-Fried could not show up for reasons known to all of you. And so they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, they still do have some of the heavy hitters like John Kerry and Al Gore, but it's a little bit less star-studded. And you know what's making them look bad, Jared? I don't know if you saw this. Greta Thunberg, who is a real climate change...
blah, 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 blah.
...star. She was arrested, or that might be a stretch. She was removed by German police from the site of a mass climate change protest at a coal mine. Now,
your papers, please.
If she were, and I don't know, I haven't seen the video of this, but if Greta's smart, which I think she is, I mean, she's made quite a name for herself in a short amount of time. She would pull the AOC, and whether or not there were handcuffs involved, she put on the invisible handcuffs, because you got to do it, right, in that situation? You got to do it for the picture.
Well, I did see one picture where the German authorities, I don't know if they're police or whoever they are, there's one person that has each of her ankles, and then somebody with, like, they're... So she kind of did the, I'm going limp, and you have to carry me out.
Oh, I love that!
So that, yeah, she pulled that move.
Very, very dramatic. That's what you have to do in these situations. I mean, a lot of it is for the photo op. Anyway, though, so German police reportedly removed 20-year-old climate change activist Greta Thunberg from the site of a mass protest over the demolition of an abandoned village for the expansion of a coal mine. Thunberg joined thousands of demonstrators who showed up Saturday to protest the clearance of the hamlet of Lucerath, walking through the nearby village and past muddy fields in western Germany. On Sunday, Thunberg again failed with police requests to leave the site before two officers carried her away. She was smiling with the two officers, each wearing a helmet outfitted with a face shield on each side, taking her by the arms. Now, not that it's a competition, but if I'm judging based off green credentials and who looks more dedicated to the cause right now, and I've got Al Gore and Brian Stelter and John Kerry in one column, I'm thinking Greta looks like the real deal.
Enough already! Enough!
I don't see you in handcuffs, bro! I don't see you getting dragged out of a mine site because you're so dedicated. I think Greta has actually made fools out of all these people. Where is their dedication? Just wanted to bring that up because I have been seeing a lot of people texting in saying, Grace, did you hear Greta was arrested? She was removed by police officers because say what you will about Greta, but she is the real deal when it comes to this. As real of the deal as you can be. It reminds me of a scene from Breakfast at Tiffany's where the guy says, what do you think about Holly Golightly? And the other one says, I don't really know. And he says, do you think she's a phony? And he goes, I can't decide. And he goes, she is a phony, but she's a real phony because she believes it. She believes her own phoniness. She's a real phony. And that's Greta. You know, all this stuff, I don't buy into it, but I know she does. And I don't think like Al Gore and all the rest of these people, they're not buying into it as much. If they were buying into it as much as Greta, they'd be at that mine. or at the very least, they'd be carpooling on their private planes. We have some breaking news for you here. The husband of the missing Cohasset woman, Anna Walsh, has been charged with murder. So this has been dragging out now for a couple weeks, Jared, right? This happened around New Year's, I think. Anne Walsh was last seen more than 2 weeks ago on New Year's Day and was reported missing a few days later. Brian Walsh was originally arrested 1 week late. 1 week later on the charge of misleading the investigation, and he's been held on high bail ever since. Brian Walsh now faces a murder charge in connection with her disappearance. Now, I don't believe, and I don't want to speak out of turn here because I've been following this as much as, you know, when it comes on the TV, I watch, but I am not well-versed in this by any means. I don't think they found this woman yet, have they, Jared?
No, they. I think they found a dumpster with some materials that he used in Swampscott, I believe. But I don't think they have not found her yet.
Okay, well, as I know. Just an update for everybody. Brian Walsh is now facing a murder charge in connection with the disappearance of his wife, Anna Walsh. This is, of course, a story that took over national headlines. It's a local story. It happened in Cohasset, and we will keep you posted as we know more. 844-500-4242. All right, KJP just wrapped up her press briefing. She told them, you can ask me 100 times, you can ask me 200 times, I'm giving the same answer, which is...
They took her up on it.
Yeah, you know what, Jared? That's what they should do. It's like, challenge. Okay, challenge accepted. We will keep asking you. And you know, I read today, it was Joe Concha, who always has a lot of good insight. He wrote, there's no way a log of visitors seeing a sitting U.S. president at two homes in a state he spent one quarter of his time in office at doesn't exist. Reporters outside of Peter Ducey should be demanding the White House why and how this can possibly be the case. To which I tell Joe Concha, there will be no reporters outside of Peter Ducey asking these questions. This is a Peter Ducey only type of question. Maybe Peter Ducey and Steve Nelson and Ed O'Keefe. Ed O'Keefe, if he's feeling particularly contentious that day and he wants to get into another quarrel with Karine Jean-Pierre, despite the fact that, Jared, they work so well together. That's what Karine told us. We work well together, Ed. Something I wanted to discuss here just briefly. We had talked about this yesterday. Dr. Lena Wen, who is a CNN contributor, she's not Dr. Fauci level of fame, okay? But you probably have seen her on TV quite a bit. And she was one of the doctors who was on there encouraging people to get vaccinated and also pushing a lot of panic porn. And now she's singing a different tune. And the brilliant minds at CNN are not happy about it. So I wanted to play a cut here. This is Caitlin Collins asking Dr. Lena Wen for evidence of her claim that COVID deaths are being overcounted. Again, if Caitlin Collins wanted to, she could have found this evidence years ago. Not weeks ago, not months ago, years ago. But then she'd have to go to sources like Rand Paul or Tom Cotton or Dr. Scott Atlas or, you know, people outside of her bubble, of her cocoon. So let's have cut 11.
Doctor, these are two separate things here, overcounting deaths and overcounting hospitalizations. As you know, I covered this closely being in the Trump White House when this happened. I talked to a lot of health officials about this who are actually kind of skeptical of this claim that you're making. And I think one big thing has been, what is the evidence that these COVID deaths are actually being overcounted?
Let's hear Dr. Lena Wen's explanation. This is cut 12.
Well, this is the reason why this kind of transparent reporting is going to be so important. There is a way for us to look at death certificates and also to look at the medical records of individuals prior to their death. And I think this needs to be separated into three categories. One is the COVID as a direct contributor, the primary cause of death. The second is, could it be a secondary contributing cause? So, for example, somebody with kidney disease, COVID then pushes them over the edge to have kidney failure. That's COVID as a contributing cause.
Jared,
and then the
Jared,
third is COVID as an incidental finding. So somebody coming in with a gunshot.
No, I can't. This is a conversation that would have been interesting 2 weeks after COVID started. You know what? I'm going to be generous. 2 months after COVID started. This would have been an interesting conversation to have. And in fact, there was a lot of people, you know, in coffee shops quietly to their friends, credulous boomer rubes, conservatives getting together and saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know these numbers. It's strange. But that was weeks after this whole thing started. Dr. Lena Wen is talking about it now. And we're all supposed to sit here and go, ah, okay, we're allowed to discuss finally. Good. Another thing I wanted to throw in here before we move on from COVID, Rachel Maddow. And I don't know what's happening with Rachel Maddow. I don't think she does her show now nightly. She seems to be there occasionally. But she was talking about COVID in regards to China. And you'll notice a shift because when Trump was president, anything he did, the left would do the opposite. Anything he said, the left would say the opposite. Anything he believed, the left would believe the opposite. So in order to make Trump look bad, the left had to make the U.S. and our handling of COVID look bad. So what would they talk about? They would talk glowingly about China. Dr. Fauci would talk glowingly about China. A lot of these talking heads would discuss, you know, what they're doing that's so effective and how we should be more like China. And it wasn't even so much that they admired China, which I'm sure in a lot of respects they do. Their politics align pretty nicely. But it was more so that they hated Trump so much. So if you hate Trump so much, you want to make it seem like everybody else is doing a better job than we're doing here. Now, of course, that was not the case. Of course, the numbers you get from China, you got to take them with a grain of salt. So finally, now that Joe Biden's president, it's okay to be a little bit critical of China. Take a listen to Rachel Maddow. This is Cut 14.
They lifted their strict lockdown measures late last year, and numbers there appear to just be skyrocketing. Hospitals and morgues are overwhelmed. Officials in China say close to 60,000 people have died of COVID just in the last month alone. And this is coming out of a country that notoriously undercounts not only their COVID cases, but also their COVID deaths.
That's amazing because I remember during COVID, people in the fake news using the numbers from China and just taking them as they were and showing them to people as an explanation of, look how great it's going in other countries that are being a little stricter on their citizens than it's going here. Why can't Trump do things like they're doing in China? And nobody said, Jared, nobody prefaced it or, you know, hedged it with, well, we should keep in mind that China's information might not be accurate. Now they're doing that, but they were not doing it when Trump was president. Just something I noticed. Just a little detail that I noticed. All right, we will be back with the birthday boy, so do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And we have a very special guest with us today. And because we have this special guest, we actually put together a little something for Howie Carr. You know, it's not every day it's your birthday. And so from his favorite artist, actually, this one goes out to Howie.
Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you. Well,
happy birthday to Valdez.
You know, Howie, it kind of sounds like...
Whoever the hell Valdez is.
It kind of sounded like Howie. It's one of those things where, in a way, it's perfect because you could really use it for anyone's birthday.
I guess.
Well, happy birthday, Howie. Do you care to disclose what number it is this year, or do you want to keep it private?
I'm 39, like Jack Benny.
Okay, perfect. Howie, I know you got a big show planned today, and without giving too much away, you do have a cheap bastard deal because even though it's your birthday, you're being so generous with the listeners and you want to give them a little gift.
Yes,
so,
this is one of our better cheap bastard deals, one of our best cheap bastard deals. And when I was we were doing remotes last summer, people would say that they when they heard of this cheap bastard deal, they would pull over to the side of the road and try to get in on them.
Oh boy. So there you go, everyone. Be ready to go around $350 for that cheap bastard deal. Howie, this is a story from the Boston Herald, but you're very familiar with this situation. Sanctuary City, Boston shielded over 100 criminal illegal aliens from deportation last year. We talked about this with Jessica Vaughn, but I wanted to bring it up with you because here in Boston, it's not just a matter of, you know, Mayor Wu shielding criminal illegal aliens. It's also the judges.
Right. I mean, the judges, well, the judges and the district attorney, they come up with these deals where they won't hit an illegal alien who's committed a violent crime with the same kind of penalties that they would hit a U.S. citizen with, because they don't want the illegal alien violent criminal to be deported. I don't ask me why, but that's the reality of it. By the way, I will also have on the show today, there was a great column in the Herald today by Rashid Walters. He's a black guy who's a columnist, and he was talking about the Embrace statue. And he was saying things that some of us can't say, even though we're thinking it. But he can say it, so we're going to bring him on the air to say it.
You know, I was thinking about the Embrace statue yesterday, and I said, in a way, over the weekend, it did bring people together, because I didn't go to one social gathering where people weren't talking about this art installation.
Yeah, I'd still like to know, you know, they say this is a private-public use of $10 million, and I think we learned from the Ted Kennedy Institute for the Study of the Senate, the Immersion Chamber, that when they say public-private partnership, that means that it's like 99% public money.
Yeah, and also when you hear $10 million, your first instinct is, wow, isn't there so much other things the government could do with that money? And then I kind of stop myself and say, maybe this was the best use of the money when I look at the alternatives.
How about they just resawed the common? You know, I mean, that grass has always been pretty grody. I'd like to see a little better. You know, it doesn't have to be like a putting green or, you know, or anything like that. But it could use a little work.
Howie,
fertilize the grass.
How about $10 million and you just send a cleanup crew to certain areas of the city and pick up trash?
Yeah, well, that's not bad either. I mean, that's a good idea. There's a million things you could use the money for. How about some police in the schools?
No, okay, now we're getting a little crazy here. You're going to drive the woke people insane. All right, Howie Carr, happy birthday. He's coming up next. He's got a great birthday show planned for all of you. You are not going to want to miss it. And the cheap bastard deal at $350. Be ready to go. Be at your computer. We'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. See you then.
Can I get out of here, please?